Let's try to prepare a little bit together for the Yom Noraim. It's a big, big schus to sit together. And to try to study a little bit the letters of the Aleph Beis. I didn't see this brought down anywhere, but Stamat's great Rachmei Shemayim brought down into the world when we study the letters of the Aleph Beis in the month of Elul. Of course, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Tov where we think about, speak about, daven about being Mamlech Hashem over the world. But of course, it's a Yom Din. And secretly, even though we're being Mamlech Hashem, all of us are really hoping that when we walk into the courtroom, so we're kind of hoping that our Father will be there, not some stern Melech judge. And in other contexts, certainly, the Sfar Makadoshim talk about how the letters of the Aleph Beis or Av are being Me'orer, that Bechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is called the Bechina of Av, of being a father. And a father, when a father looks at a child and the child is dirty, they don't see the dirt on the child. Okay, maybe the child needs a bath, maybe, you know, needs a change of clothing, but the etzem of the child is still the child, and no parent looks at their child and says, you know, that's dirty, they say, that's my child. That happens to have a little bit of dirt on them. So Hashem should help us that in studying the letters of the Aleph Beis, we should be zocha to be ma'orer from our small efforts down here below, that we should be ma'orer that aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is called the aspect of Av, of the Aleph Beis, that Hashem is our Father, and that He really only wants to give good. So we're up to the letter Pei, which means that, as I said last week, we're nearing the end. And that's very very exciting, but it's also a little sad. So let's try to understand what the letter Pei is all about. When it comes to this time of year, everybody's thinking about tshuva. And of course, the Rosh HaMedavrim B'chol Makom, when it comes to tshuva, is the Rambam. The Rambam codifies for us in the Yad HaChazakah how we're supposed to do tshuva, what our feelings are supposed to be, what our actions are supposed to be. And in the very first halacha in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes, much ink has been spilled on this Rambam, in the halachic world, that the Rambam writes, Kol mitzvos shebetorah bein asei bein los asei. All the mitzvos of the Torah, whether they're positive or negative commandments, im avar adam al achas mehem, when a human being violates, passes over, transgresses one of these mitzvos or los aseis, Bein bezadon, bein bishkaga, whether he does it on purpose or he does it by accident. Kishiyasa tshuva v'yashov mechata'o, when the person does tshuva and stops doing that chay, chayev l'hisvados lefnei hakel baruch hu. Then it comes time for that person to actually do the mitzvah d'oraisa, which is listed in the Rambam 613 mitzvahs, which is not the mitzvah of tshuva itself. This, of course, is the major discussion in the halachic literature about why the Rambam phrases the mitzvah in such a strange way. That after you do tshuva, then the mitzvah is to do vidui peh, to speak with one's mouth, vidui dvarim, to be misvadeh lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the pasuk says, ish o isha ki yasu, when a man or a woman does one of the mitzvos of the Torah that they should not do, in other words, they violate a lo saseh, or they violate nase, v'hisvadu es chatasam asher asu, and they then come to confess their avera before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Zev vidoy dvarim. This is the mitzvah asay of vidoy dvarim. The problem is that when we come to vidoy dvarim, and this is really a problem that everybody faces at all ages, at all levels. And that is that when we come to the world of Vidoy Dvarim, we come to that moment when we're standing in shul, surrounded by people, machzer in hand, the thing which is foremost on our minds, of course, is we're just blessing ourselves and all those around us that hopefully we can say a few words sincerely. To move the mouth is not such a delicate art, but to move the mouth in concert with the heart is, of course, very difficult. and is something that we want very desperately to happen, but it takes effort and concentration and a little mazel to get to the place where our vidui is not mere vidui dvarim, but is something a little bit deeper. And so one of the al-chets that we mention on Yom Kippur is, of course, al-chet shechatanu lefanecha bevidui peh. Woe unto us that we've sinned to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, another year of trying to do tshuva, but ultimately it was just vidui peh. It was just what's referred to in the language of our sages as misafa ulechutz, from the lips and outward. Never really penetrating inside, never really being a reflection of this inner spirit which is stirred up inside of me. It's not the storm of my neshama kind of just falling out of me, but it's just vidoy peh. Al chet shechatanu lefanecha bevidoy peh. So on the one hand, vidoy dvarim, vidoy peh is a great mitzvah. But we have to understand how to do vidoy peh. And of course, in order to understand how to properly do vidoy peh, we need to understand the mystery of this remarkable letter called the letter peh. The letter peh, which of course is the letter peh. In our Svarim, the letter peh is spelled several different ways, and we're not going to be able to discuss why and all of the different ways that the letter peh is spelled. The letter peh is sometimes spelled peh aleph, sometimes it's spelled peh yud. But tonight we're going to focus on what it means that the letter peh is peh he, is peh, is the mouth. This concern that our vidoy should be sincere, that our vidoy should be not just vidoy peh, but it should be vidoy dvarim. It should come from a deeper place. Is of course what the Rambam is hinting to when the Rambam in the second paragraph of Hilchos Tshuva writes that what is tshuva? Tshuva is that a person is sheyazov hachote chato. The sinner removes himself, pulls himself away from the chet, v'yasiru machshavto, and he removes it from his thoughts, even v'yigmor b'libo, shelo yasu od. And the person takes upon themselves never to return to that chet. And then the Rambam writes, v'ya'ir alav yodea ta'alumos shelo yashuv lazeh hachet la'olam. The difference between vidui peh, which is misafa ulechot, which is just from the lips and outward, and vidui dvarim, the true mitzvah of vidui, is that when vidui happens in a deep way, the yodea ta'alumos, the one who knows the mysteries, who knows the hidden things, the insides of a person, puts his stamp of approval and says, I see that this is a sincere plea, that I will never return to this again. Shelo yashuv lezeh achet la'olam, that I will not return. Sincerely, I turn to Hashem. I will not return to this chet ever again. And in order to understand how a person's dibur can have that stamp of approval from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need to understand what dibur is really. What is this peh that Hashem gave us? Misam peh la'adam, that Hashem gave us a mouth. What is this vehicle called the mouth? So to understand that, we need to go back to the beginning. And we need to see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, when Hashem Yisbarach created man, all the way back in the very first parsha of the Torah, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afer min ha'adama vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. And as everybody knows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into us a breath of life, a nefesh chaya, a living soul, a soul which not only enabled us to move around, but gave us a certain consciousness, a creative capacity that puts us above and beyond the rest of creation. And that nefesh chaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, as is explained by Targum Onkelos and is brought down in many svarim that I'm sure many people sitting around this table have seen this before, the Targum Onkelos explains and translates, v'haves ba'adam l'ruach mimalala. Nefesh Chai, this Nefesh Chaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, is translated by the Targum Onkelos as being a Ruach Memalalo, which means a speaking spirit. That Hashem blew into Adam HaRishon, who at that point was Adam and Chava conjoined. And that spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was blown into man, which simultaneously gave us the Neshama, which makes us human, also gave us the creative capacity to speak. To be bialim over the letters of the Aleph Beis. As Rav Tzadok writes in several places, that all the other animals, it's a remarkable thing, that all the other animals have only a few letters of the Aleph Beis that they can make, like cows can only do like Mem and Vav, right? Use your imagination. And birds can only do, you know, Tzadi Yud Pei, I think he says. Cheep, cheep. You know, like tweet. And all the animals have their own, I guess cats do Pei Resh, you know. And each animal has its purr, its moo, its... And only the Ben Adam, only the human being, is given shlita, is given rulership over all of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. And what is speech? Speech is an amazing thing. Speech, as is explained by the Svarim HaKadoshim, by the students of the Baal Shem Tov, is the ability to reveal the neshama for a minute. It's the ability to allow a glimpse into the neshama which is inside the person. As the students of the Baal Shem Tov explain, when the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Nafshi yatsa bedibro, that my soul goes out with my with my speech. One's soul goes out with his speech. Nafshi yatsa bedibro, my soul goes out with his, with the guf, with the body's speech. That the soul is being revealed together with a person's speech. And what we're doing when we're speaking, as explained by the Baal HaTanya in source number 6, Ha'osios mitzad atzmam heim mushrashos benefesh atzma. The letters that we end up speaking, the ideas, which are nothing more than the sum total of osios that are floating around inside of our neshamos, those osios themselves mitzad atzmam, those letters which are mushrash, which are rooted in the soul, are expressed. Motzia osan mehahelam el hagiloi. They go from being hidden inside the person to being outside of the person. If I were to sit here right now and to stop talking, it would be very difficult for the rest of you to know what's going on in this shir inside my head. Because the mystery of speech is that I'm able to take something which is inside of me and I can bring it outside of me. Minahelam el hagiloi. Mitchila ba'osios ha-machshava. First from the nefesh into the osios of the machshava, of the mind. And then from the machshava via the vehicle of the chest cavity and then up through the windpipe and out through the mouth and through the five motzaos ha-peh. A person is able to express dibor. The osios that are mushrash in the neshama are able to come out and be shared with other people. So I once heard from a great Baal Machshava that if you look either at me or somebody else in the room, preferably not everybody at once, I get overwhelmed. But if you look at somebody in the room, you'll notice the most amazing thing. That there's an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything in the world that when you look at it, you can tell what it's for. If you spend enough time holding this object that's placed on the table over here, you'll know that you can use it to make phone calls, and you can maybe do a little math on your calculator, you can take a picture of your kid. You could figure it out just by touching it, but that's what's so amazing about it, it's so intuitive. If you hold the apple that's on the table for a little bit, eventually you'll figure out, this smells pretty good. Intuitively, you'll realize that I'm supposed to put this in my mouth and eat it. And by studying anything, you can kind of figure out what its purpose is. So it's amazing that if you look at the human being, and really, it's the entire human being. The entire human being with the very rare exception of the mouth, is all one color. And not only that, but if I were to take, excuse me for a moment, but if I were to take a knife and I were to make an incision on my arm and I'd peel back the skin, then it would look very much like my lips, because the inside of a person, there's red blood coursing through our bodies right now. And the only part of the human being where I could take my outside and flip it inside out and it would look the same inside and outside is the mouth. So that if I wanted to say it succinctly, I could say that the mouth is literally the inside of the human being spilling out onto the outside. It's an amazing thing. That the mouth, which is that vehicle through which I take the osios that are mushrash in my neshama, and that go from the neshama into the mind, and from the mind up through the chest cavity, through the windpipe, and out to the world of people listening, that the very shape and color of the mouth is screaming to us this whole yisod that we just read from the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch. That it's so intuitive that the mouth is the inside world of the human being coming out. This is what the Maharal explains in source number 7. I'm probably not going to read the whole thing inside, but I encourage you to. I'll start reading a little bit. Vayomer Moshe el Hashem, bi Hashem lo ish dvar manochi. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the quintessential prophet, the Navi, whose very name, not Moshe, but the word Navi, which means niv svasai, which means the fruit of the lips. Moshe Rabbeinu, who paradoxically is the Av Hanavim, who is the father of all prophets, comes to Hashem and says, I can't speak. Lo ish dvarim anochi. And everybody knows the Medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was younger, he burnt his lips on a piece of coal. There are Rishonim who push aside that Medrash and say that's just for children. But of course, there's depth beyond depth of what's going on in Chazal. And if Moshe Rabbeinu is portrayed as someone who cannot speak, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Rashbam even says that when Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't speak, of course, Moshe didn't have a speech impediment, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a stammer, he didn't have burnt lips or anything like that. It just means that Moshe Rabbeinu felt that, you know, there's a certain way you speak in the royal court, and I'm not well-versed in, like, the political. So the Rashbam writes, you know? But the Maharal says that that's a big mistake. I'll be pshat, that's nice. It's a nice way to understand the psukim. And yet the Maharal has to grapple with the fact that, of course, nevuah and the Navi, by definition, can only come when the person is shalim begufo. The Rambam writes that one of the things that a Navi needs to have in order to be zochet to prophecy is that the Navi needs to be shalim begufo. You could be a tzaddik without being shalim begufo, but to be a Navi so that people will listen to you, it's just the nature of the world, unfortunately, that only a person who has all of their limbs and who is full in body and full in mind is considered worth listening to. That's not what Hashem thinks, but that's what the world thinks. And therefore the Navi has to be shalim begufo. And how could it be, says the Maharal, that Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to speak? So skip down to the second paragraph. Ein davar zeh kasha lemevin. So this is not difficult to understand for those who understand deep things. Ki hadibor ba'atzmo in safek kevin shehu al yedei tenua hu poel gashmi. On the one hand, the very fact that the tongue and the lips and the mouth are physical body parts that need to be activated, just like our arms and our legs and our chumri, our gashmi, our physical. Speech is physical. But at the same time, the Maharal explains, Avalhu al yedei seichel shiyadu litzarif hadibor. But there's something mysterious going on here, because it's not just a physical movement. Speech is somehow this unification, this coming together, much like we just explained on a simplistic level, that speech on a psychological, if you will, level is my inner world coming out. speech is not only the union between my inside and my outside, it's also the union between the most physical and the most spiritual parts of the human being. And the Maharal goes on to explain this in depth, and it's explained in many other Svarim as well, that if you think about the other five senses, the other four senses, so sight, hearing, smell, and touch, kind of happen whether you want it to or not. It's very difficult to imagine oneself suspended in some sort of gravitational field where you won't feel anything. In order to not see, you have to do an action of closing one. You have to close your eyes. To not hear, you have to close up your ears. To not smell, you have to close up your nose. The only thing that you kind of need to activate, that you need to put the most physical energy into, is the mouth. Is what either eating or speaking. It doesn't just go on its own. Sight kind of just goes on its own. No one here is working very hard at seeing right now. So on the one hand, it's the most physical, but at the same time, as we just explained, there's nothing which is more spiritual in the human being. The ruach memalala, the nefesh chaya of the human being, that spiritual part of the human being, comes together with the mouth, and in that place of the peh, there's a unification between the gashmi and the ruchani. And so Moshe Rabbeinu did not have a speech imperfection, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu had a seichel super perfection. If seichel and the physical come together in speech, Moshe Rabbeinu had a very difficult time taking his almost infinite divine knowledge that was kind of percolating within him, and he had a difficult time bringing that into physical kelim. It wasn't that there was something wrong with Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to speak, says the Maharal. If we understand that the mouth is the inside world coming out, then the problem was that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty taking infinite divine connectivity and bringing it out to the Jewish people, bringing it out on the realm of redemption in a finite number of words. So the Shem Yishmuel, it's not in the sources, but the Shem Yishmuel explains that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, after Hashem gave the Torah, and Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu how to take an infinite amount of information, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Sof mind, which is encapsulated in some 300,000 plus letters of the Torah, which is a finite number of letters, but it's an infinite amount of information. So then Moshe Rabbeinu, all of a sudden in Sefer Dvarim, gives these long-winded speeches, and the Medrash says, no, what happened to the man who couldn't speak? That was before Matan Torah. Now that the Torah was given, now he can speak. So what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu held the Torah up to his mouth and it cooled the burning coals. So the Maharal explains that what was happening is that Moshe Rabbeinu, after he received the Torah, which is an infinite mind of Hashem encapsulated in a finite number of letters, gave Moshe the tools to be able to take something infinite, something very, very deep inside of him, some seichel eloki, and to bring it out in a finite way. More or less, that's what Dibur is. Dibur is bringing the inside out. And so finally, since we're studying here the letters of the Aleph Beis, and we know that the letters of the Aleph Beis are called the language of Lashon HaKodesh. So there are many writers who have written about why Lashon HaKodesh is called Lashon HaKodesh. Everyone from the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim writing that it's called Lashon HaKodesh because we don't have words for parts of the body which are, you know, normally hidden. We have different kind of euphemisms for those words, for those parts of the body, but we don't. It's a very clean language. It doesn't have words which are profanity. And the Ramban, of course, in Parshas Kedoshim, famously debates the Rambam and says if that were the case, it would just be called Lashon Naki. It wouldn't be called Lashon HaKodesh. And the Ramban writes that it's called Lashon HaKodesh because it's the language that Hashem speaks and the language with which Hashem created the world. That's why it's called because Hashem is Kodesh. But the Maharal, in source number 8, writes, Ayin Lashonos Him Keneged Ayin Umos. That the speech of a particular nation is connected to that nation. Ulekol Uma Nasan La Lashon. And every nation is given a particular language to speak. V'halashon Hu Mityaches El Ha'uma. And that language is connected to that particular nation in the way that people speak. Again, this is, I once did a decent amount of research into this and found that it's a little bit of a myth, but it's a little bit true. when people talk about Eskimos having like hundreds of words for snow. You ever heard that idea? So it's not true, they don't have hundreds, they have a few words for snow. But the idea is still true that in language studies, so languages are developed in a particular context of the nation that speaks the language. There are more words for snow for those who live in Alaska and in snowy parts because it's just something that they come into contact with. And therefore the language is misyaches to that particular nation. So that in the Sifrei Kabbalah, we actually find that there were great Kabbalists, again for people like ourselves, we have other things to work on first, but that it's recorded that the Ramami Pano actually fasted for quite some time in order to help him forget he was an Italian Kabbalist. And he fasted and davened that he should be able to forget the Italian language. Because he felt that on his madriga was holding him back from higher levels because there was something in the language of Italian that was connected to the nations of the world. And when he was saying, Shaloa Sani Goy, that Hashem didn't make me a non-Jew. So then part of my expression of being a Jew is that I only speak Lashon HaKodesh. And on his madriga, that's where he was holding. So the Maharal explains that the reason that Lashon HaKodesh is called Lashon HaKodesh, listen carefully, Nasan Lo HaKodesh Baruch Hu Lashon, Ki Lashon HaKodesh Nasan La'am HaKodesh. The reason that the language is called Lashon HaKodesh is because Lashon HaKodesh belongs to the Am HaKodesh. It's not called Lashon HaKodesh because it's a clean language. It's not called Lashon HaKodesh because it's the language Hashem used to create the world. It's called Lashon HaKodesh because the people who speak that language are Kodesh. Because the insides of a Jewish person, when they speak that language of Hebrew, it's the inside of a Jew, which is Kulo Kodesh Lashem, is coming out of the person via their mouth. So now that we know what a mouth is, now that we know what a pei is, so now let's analyze the pei. I'll tell you to turn the page, but maybe keep the first page open because you're going to need to see something in a moment. The Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, who of course was a legalist, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, was a lawyer, but was also a mystic and wrote the Sefer Magid Meisharim, which is conversations that he had with a malach. So he's not just the author of a dry text of Shulchan Aruch. Next time you learn Shulchan Aruch, remember that. This is a person who spoke to malachim and recorded it in a Sefer that you could buy in any Sfarim store. So the Beis Yosef in Simen Lamed Vav, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about how we write letters, writes, Pei Kefufa, this letter Pei, Yiyela zavios lamala mi bifnim umi bachutz kemo shakasev hachasid shepei pesofit and tuf yesh lahem zavios. The letter pei has to have corners. See how the letter pei on the top has a corner, like a sharp corner. So the letter pei pesofit and tuf need to have sharp corners, says the Beis Yosef. Gam bezeh shagagu asofrim lasos lape zavius lamata ve'enokain. And some people make the mistake of making sharp corners on the bottom of the pei. If you look on the first page again, you'll see the bottom right corner of the pei does not have a sharp corner. But those who make mistakes, or the Beis Yosef was worried about those who would make mistakes and make sharp corners to the pei on the bottom as well. Ve'enokain, and that is not correct. Shaharei HaRokeach Kasav, the Rokeach himself was a mystic, listen carefully. The Rokeach writes, in the name of the Chassid Atzmo, She Luban, or Lavan, Shal Pei Yek Mo Beis. Umidlo Amar Stama Sha Pei Kmo Beis. The fact that he didn't say that the Pei should be like a Beis, meaning that it should have a sharp corner. Shma Mina Davka HaLubon Kmo Beis, Avo Mibachutz Eino Kmo Beis. The outside should not be sharp like the beis, but the inside of the pei should be like a beis. What is he talking about? So take a look at the image of the beis that you have in front of you on your sheet of paper, and kind of look at it like you'd be looking at, what are those things called? You know, where you like look at it and it turns like 3D? What are those things called? You know what I'm talking about? Magic eye? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. Not alone here, right? So just kind of look at it in that way, and you'll see that in the inside of the pei, there is a beis. See it? If you take a blue pen and you kind of fill in the white, you'll see that there is actually a beige staring you in the face that you never saw before.
Yeah, like the FedEx.
It's like the FedEx logo. There's an arrow inside it, right? Yeah, I just noticed that also recently. Maybe like two summers ago, I think that's from. Right? So unlike the FedEx logo, this comes from Hashem. Right? I mean, in a certain way, the FedEx logo, everything comes from Hashem, but the beis on the inside of the pei is mandated by the halacha. And if you look in a Sefer Torah, if you ever have the opportunity to look inside of a Sefer Torah, you'll see that the inside of all the peis are the letter beis. So what's going on? So if we understand that the pei is the mouth, and that the mouth, we just explained over the past 25 minutes, that the mouth's job is to have the inside coming out. So what is the prefix in Hebrew that means inside? If the mouth's whole job is to express the inside, so then the pei expresses the beis. If I want to say that I am now inside, so then I say that I am bitoch, wherever I am. But if I want to say it in shorthand, I would say I am badira. I am in the apartment. Right? I am sitting badira. I'm sitting babai. I'm sitting in the house. Beis is the prefix which means inside. And the pei has a beis inside because the pei is the mouth which is fully expressing the inside. Is anyone else having fun here? I mean, this is amazing.
So cool.
So now, let's turn up Yiderech Avoda and come back to the problem of Vidoy Peh. Vidoy Peh is such a crime, is such a shortcoming, because we're taking the Peh, which is that instrument of revealing the inside, and we're cutting it off from the Makur of Dibor Bifnim. Those osios of the Aleph Beis Atzorah, which are mushrash in the nefesh, which then go through the osios of the machshava and out through the osios of the peh, if it only starts at the osios of the peh, then we're cutting off the entire world of what speech is all about. True speech, the speech of tzaddikim, is a speech which is nothing more and nothing less than echad b'peh ve'echad b'lev. That what I'm saying in my heart and what I'm saying in my mouth are perfectly aligned. It means when I speak to my friends, I only say things which I really feel. It means when I speak to Hashem, of course, I only say things that I really feel. And so, vidoy peh, al chet shechatanu lefanecha bevidoy peh, that I sinned before you with insincere tshuva, with tshuva that only comes misafo lachutz, from the mouth and outward, is so painful. It's what's described by David HaMelech in Sefer Tehillim as saviv rishayim yishaleichun. Rishayim are always saviv, they're always walking on the outside. They're walking in circles along the outside, along the perimeter. They're never going inside. It means that the rishayim's whole halicha sachayim, their whole way of life, is only on the outside. Everything they're doing is just a show of some external form, but is not really revealing what they have bifnim, what they're doing inside. Or as Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rav lachem so v'sahar azeh, you're spending too much time around the mountain. Penu lachem tzafona, turn inward. Tzafon means hidden. Turn inward and think about what you're saying, as the Shulchan Aruch paskins, as is so important at this time of year when we're going to be saying pages upon pages, tov ma'at mekavana, better to say a little bit but really have the heart and the mouth aligned than to say harbe bli kavana, than to say so much but not really be saying anything, because it's not called speech unless it comes from the osios that are mushrash in the neshama. This, the Shla Kadosh explains, is the deeper understanding of the Musr that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Hashem Yisbarach chastises the Jewish people in the Midbar after one of our several stumblings in the Midbar, and we come and we ask Hashem to forgive us. So the Shla Kadosh in source number 12 quotes the Pasuk, V'yisvadu es avonam v'yis avon avosam b'malam asher malubi. They confessed their sins and the sins of their fathers in their having trespassed against me. Uksiv basrei, and immediately after that the pasuk says, Af ani alech imachem bekeri. Just as they have been misvada in front of me and admitted their sins and the sins of their fathers, so I will act with them bekeri. So I will act with them kind of with like happenstance. Just kind of like letting the natural order take its toll. Vikasha, says the Shlach Kadosh, in the name of an unknown chassid. He says, Perish ha-chassid. Not sure who the chassid is. V'chizeh pri ha-tshuva. Is this the fruit of tshuva? The Jewish people come and they say vido in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their misvada, their avonos, and the avonos of their fathers. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by saying, so I will act with them, by kind of letting nature take over and ignoring them. El al karchach perish b'ma'alam kilomar ba'od ma'alam bam. Rather, the understanding is that this vidu that they said, skip down to after the three dots, u'bevade mish misvade v'chuzer l'soro, az b'shashay isvade lo nishbar libo b'kirbo, a person who is misvade but his heart is not broken inside of him. They don't feel the weight of their sin crushing them to the point that they just need to express some, they need to get it off their chest and speak to Hashem. Ki az hu ki ilu mispayer chas v'shalom b'ma she'asa. If a person doesn't feel broken and the vidoy that we're saying is not an expression of the inside coming out, so then what is it? We're listing off, bragging to our friends about all of the averis that we did. Oh, you'll never guess what I did this year? And just list off a laundry list of your dirty laundry from the year? That's what we're doing? Says the Shlof, it's not coming from a broken heart. So then all we're doing is being mispa'er in our averus. We're kind of glorifying ourselves with our averus, saying, look what I did this, I did this, I did this, and I'm still going. And instead, what a person's supposed to be feeling is that I just need to speak this. It's my inside spilling out. It's the lips, which are red, spilling the insides out. I couldn't find it inside, but the Al Shech HaKadosh, it's recorded in the Sefer Yitzmach Moshe, the Satmar Rebbe, that's where I originally saw it, but I wanted to find it for you inside, but I couldn't find it. But the Satmar Rebbe explained the words, Kichu Yimachem Devarim Veshuvu El Hashem. Some of us got to study those words this past Thursday night together, but now a different pshat. It says, Kichu Yimachem Devarim Veshuvu El Hashem. Take words and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it doesn't say exactly take words. Ukvar perish ha'al shech ki l'tshuva tzarech vidui dvarim. Tshuva needs to be sincere, as we said in the beginning. It needs to be with words. It can't just be in your mind. It has to be with speech. K'mo shenemar b'Torah kadosha v'yisvadu eschatasom asher asu, like the Rambam quoted that pasuk. Rak shelo yiyev vidui peh mitzvah z'anoshe milumada. But we cannot allow ourselves for it to be a peh without a base on the inside. It can't just be a mouth without an inside of a person coming together with it. And therefore, if our vidoy peh is only mitzvos anashim milumada, it's just kind of by rote. Dim medaber below lev, a person who speaks without the heart, the inside, the lev, the pnimius, the bitoch, the base. Az ha'adam eno im hatvarim, then the person is not with his words. And now listen to the words again and you'll see something so beautiful just jumping off. The words from Hosea, "Ki libo bali moverak min asafu lechutz, ma she'ein kein bekerav ish v'lev amok, az hu im hadvarim." And this is the pshat behindu kechu imachem devarim. Take with you words. In other words, let those words really be an expression of yourself. It could have just said kechu devarim, take words v'shuvu el Hashem. Use your words and admit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what you did, and tell him that you feel bad and that you never want to do it again. But it's not enough just to kichu dvarim, it's kichu imachem. Take yourself and then express yourself through dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem. A pei without a beis on the inside is not a pei. And so in the last few minutes, let's try to understand how a proper understanding of this letter pei and a proper understanding of this type of tshuva, a tshuva which is vidoy dvarim and not just mir vidoy peh misafa lechutz. Let's try to understand how that mystery of the pay, which we've just touched the tip of, is ultimately what's going to help us bring about the redemption. I never pass up an opportunity to quote this Maamar Chazal that Bizchus Nashim Tzikanios Nigalu, we were redeemed because of the Nashim Tzikanios, and in the future we'll be redeemed because of the Nashim Tzikanios, Asidin Ligail. And so it's special to talk about the Geula with a room full of Nashim Tzikanios who spend their free time and they're off from sitting and learning to come and sit and learn. And I have no doubt that what we're doing here and trying to understand these letters is somehow ever so small or maybe in a very great scale bringing about redemptive qualities in the world. So let's try to understand one more step into the letter Pei. And that is that we know that the letter Pei is one of the double letters. The Pei is both a what's called a Pei Kafufa, a bent pay, and a pay pashuta, a straight pay. Alternatively called a pay stuma and a pay psucha, an open pay, which is the pay sofit, opens on the bottom, and a pay stuma, kind of closed up pay. So Chazal tells us in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it's recorded in several different midrashim, on the pasuk of pakod pakadati, or pakod yifkod, Hainu Damrina, this is the secret of what it means when Chazal say Mansapach, the letters Mem Nun Sa'adi Pei and Chaf, which are all the double letters, Tzofim Amram, were recited by the Nevi'im. Chaf, the double letter Chaf, the Chaf and the Chaf Sofit, Gu'ula La'Avram, Kidechsiv Lech Lecha, that the Gu'ula of Avram going to Eretz Yisrael took place with the Chaf Sofit of Lech Lecha. A double chaf. The mem was the geula for Yitzchak. Dechsiv, lech mi'imanu, leave from us. That when Yitzchak was being told to leave, because those who were not happy with the wells that he had dug and his prosperity said, it's too much, you're making us look bad. Lech mi'imanu, leave from being within us, was the redemption of Yitzchak. The nun was the geula for Yaakov Avinu, Hatzileni Na, the double nun. Hatzileni Na, from Esav. And the pei, listen, because this is what we're going to focus on now, and then we'll focus on the tzadi at the end. The pei is the geula of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. Dechsiv ki pakod pakarati eschem. Pakod pakarati is that code word, which means the redemption from Mitzrayim, which even though the redemption from Mitzrayim already took place in a certain way, we don't have time to talk about this now, but in a certain way, those who have studied these inyanim know that all of the galios, all of the exiles are somehow wrapped up in the galos of Mitzrayim. So this galos is also part of galos Mitzrayim. And the redemption from Mitzrayim was, is, and will always be connected to the letter Pei, specifically the double Pei of Pakod Pakarati. We'll come back to the tzadi in a minute. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin writes from the Medrash Rabbah that it's Yadua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a special simen. In source number 15, let's understand the mystery of this Pakod Pakarti, the double pay. Vishamu Lekolcha, the Jewish people listen to your voice, Moshe Rabbeinu. How? Why? Lama? Shemesoras geula hu biyadam, because there is a secret code that the Jewish people have. Shekol goel sheyavu v'yomer lahem pekida kafula. Goel shel emesu. Because any redeemer who comes and speaks to them with a double language of pakod pakarati, a double language of pekida, of Hashem's remembering us and redeeming us, they will know that that's the true Redeemer. The Kosovol Zeha Ramban, V'yesha Lecha Lishol, and the Ramban asks the question, which everybody should be thinking, this is a pretty lousy code. Because either everybody knows it, in which case anybody can say it, and it's not a very good siman. That's like saying, the sign that you are Mashiach is you come and you say, I am Mashiach. Everybody knows that that's the code, so then any, you know, loon can come and say, I'm Mashiach. If the code is Pakod Pakarati, so then anybody can come and do it. So there are various answers. Some say that maybe only the Yechidei Skula knew, it was a secret code that only was passed down amongst the elders, and they had this secret tradition, and the person who came couldn't be from them. Now, there are various answers to this problem. But Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin in the Tzidkus HaTzadik writes, which is the whole Indian of the Pei, you'll understand now how beautiful this is, that it wasn't just enough to come and say Pakod Pakarati. Anybody could say Pakod Pakarati. But Rav Tzadok writes that the whole Indian of this double Pei is that only the one who came, Hainu sheyichnes belibam inyan pekida, sheyargishu belibam or mipekida zeh, yehagoa shel emes. You understand? Only the one who could say Pakod Pakarati and really say it, inside like outside. Only the person, that's why it's the letter Pei, only the person who knew the secret of being able to not only say it, but to say it in a way that dvarim hayotzim min halev nechnasim el halev, that the words that leave the heart, that come from the inside, not vidoy peh from the outside, but words that come from the heart of this person, that they just spoke to Hashem, and Hashem says, I remember you. And that feeling of the Navi who comes and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't forget us. When the Navi, when Moshe Rabbeinu said Pakod Pakarati, the secret was that when the person would come and say Pakod Pakarati, it wouldn't just be words. It would well up inside of the people who heard Pakod Pakarati. Yeah, Hashem really remembered us. This is real. Because the inside of the Navi is spilling out. Because Hashem didn't forget us, it's not just something you say, but it's something you live, it's something you feel. And so it wasn't a bogus code, because only someone who really experienced inside out, Pakod Pakarati, was able to really feel this inyan and express that to the Jewish people and explain the Gula. So this is the whole inyan of Rosh Hashanah, this is the whole inyan of the Yemei Atshuva. And so when we come to Rosh Hashanah in just a few short days, and we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and blow the shofar, as the Sfarim explain, that the blowing of the shofar is that returning of the breath that HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, Hashem blew a breath into us, and in turn on Rosh Hashanah, on the anniversary of our creation, on the day that man was created, on Aleph Tishrei, we blow back that breath to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in order to show that true speech, that speech be'etzem is really dvarim hanichnasim el halev, that are yotzim min halev, they come out from the heart and go into someone else's heart. That's the only thing that's true speech. So then on Rosh Hashanah, the Shem Yishmuel explains from his father, from the Avnei Nezer, that the whole Indian of shofar, hineha barambam, afal pishat kia shofar, like we explained last week a little bit, is a gzeres hakosov. There's a remez of uru yeshena mishenaschem to tell us at the crossroads of tshuva, the crossroads of the ayin, to go to the right side, like we explained last week, v'nir damim hakitzu mitardoseichem, to wake up from our slumber, mitar demoseichem. And he explains from his father, shamati, that my father explained, shalaremez zeh, why is this remez of the shofar so able to wake up all the people who are sleeping? And it's simple. Because the call of the shofar is not a musar speech. It's not some hachraza where the person gets up and they say, everybody do tshuva, and they use their mouths. But it's a claim that the ikur dibor of a person, the ikur, the main, the root of speech of a human being is not so much the words from the upper part of the speech, of the mouth and the lips, but is the air, is the breath of life that comes from the inside, as the Shem Yishmuel explains. The kol shofar zeh hayotze mehevel halev, the kocho lichones lelev yoser. The shofar, which is not words, it's not using the five motzaos hapeh, the lips, the palate, the tongue. It's just coming from the inside. It's blowing the inside out in the strongest way. It's the ultimate peh. It's almost like the bays without the peh. It's completely the white fire of the Torah, the bays, the inside of the peh. That's what the shofar is. It's me taking my insight and blowing it back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem blew into my being the breath of life. And on Rosh Hashanah, I take that breath of life. I take all of the sincerity, the entire toch that's inside of me, and I blow it back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem should help us that we should be zocha to the bracha of not being saviv rishayim yishaleichun. We shouldn't be people who are stuck on the outside, only speaking. We have in front of us many, many, many pages, pages upon pages upon pages of tefilos, of slichos, of tchinos to Kadosh Baruch Hu, of bakashas to Hashem, for a year of bracha, spiritual bracha, physical bracha, emotional bracha, all the bracha. We should be zocha to not be saviv rishayim yishaleichun, but we should be zocha to the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. It wasn't just a command, but it was a bracha of rav lachem sov esaharetz. We spent enough time going around the mountain, enough time surrounding and circling Har Sinai. It's time, panu lachem tzifona, Hashem should bless us, that we somehow learn to turn inwardly, and in that merit we'll be zocha to the bracha, again, of coming back to the redemption of Mitzrayim, which, as I said, as I explained before, is really this exile, is still part of the exile of Mitzrayim, of Pakod Pakarti. Hashem should remember us for good. Amen. Mm-hmm.